Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. This weekend, thousands of people will descend on downtown Sacramento to taste, sip, and sample some of the best food and wine our area has to offer. It's the annual Farm to Fork Street Festival. It starts Friday afternoon and runs all day Saturday along Capitol Mall. For those who have lived in the area for a while, you may remember that the city of Sacramento embraced the Farm to Fork mantra 10 years ago as a way to celebrate the diversity of what we grow here and show off a little bit to the rest of the country. Mike Testa is with Visit Sacramento, which is responsible for making the Farm to Fork Festival happen. And we have the owners of the Sugar Sweetery, Justine and Candace Cabanilla, one of the many small businesses that will be at the festival this weekend. Good morning to you, all of you, all three of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, Mark, I want to start with you because time has really flown. This year's going to be the 10th annual Farm to Fork Festival. When you go back to the first year to now, I mean, what stands out to you about this evolution?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, that first year, you hope you can pull it off. We hoped that people would show up, and certainly 20,000 of them did. So you fast forward 10 years from now, we get well over 100,000 people out there. And this event celebrates the agricultural heritage of this community. You come out and you meet the farmers. You talk to the wine grape growers. You talk to everybody that makes our food system go. So the fact that 10 years later, we're still here, that the event is as big as it is, is really a testament to people taking pride, I think, in the agricultural aspect of our community and celebrating the Sacramento region.
I mean, of course, you had an idea. The light bulb went off. But when you look back at the last 10 years, what stands out to you about the biggest impact this festival has had on Sacramento?
I think the Farm to Fork movement in general has changed the national narrative on Sacramento. Mm-hmm. You know, in the past, national newspapers would write about the gold rush of 1849 and that heritage in Sacramento, which is certainly valuable and important. But now, you know, we're seeing articles in the Wall Street Journal on the five fastest mid-sized food cities in the country, and Sacramento is one of them. We attracted the Michelin Guide to our market because of Farm to Fork. So there's a lot of things that are culinary in Sacramento that we did not have 10 years ago when this started.
Mm. When it comes to how it's also grown by people who are part of the festival, all of the vendors and small businesses, that has grown tremendously as well.
It really has. Again, that first year, you know, we took a few blocks on Capitol Mall, and now we take the majority of Capitol Mall and all the side streets. The footprint of the festival is essentially a mile long. So, you know, it helps when you get the attention that you get. It makes other vendors want to be part of it. So we've really expanded that network, and it's a huge variety of people who come out. And, you know, we're very selective. You're not going to see craft vendors in the typical festival sense. It's really food-centric that we try to do out there.
This year you had a festival impact grant. What was that going to accomplish?
Well, the idea was to make sure that the festival is accessible to everybody. Obviously, there's a cost to get in to sell your product there. And not everybody can afford that, especially some of the newer businesses. So we worked with Bank of America to set up essentially a scholarship fund to identify some groups that wanted to be a part of it, that had some barriers to getting in. Their cost to register at the event was covered. And, you know, last year we did it as well. And there was a barbecue sauce company that had a line down the street, and they were so thrilled at the exposure. Obviously, they sold a lot of product, but they got an exposure they hadn't seen before.
Yeah. Well, that brings me to Justine and Candace. What was your awareness, your familiarity with the Farm to Fork Festival before you two are going to be part of it?
Definitely, we had attended the event last year, and we've known about how much it's grown. It's definitely something within the food community, within the vendor small community. It's an elite status to go and be a part of that. So we are completely honored to be a part of it this year.
Yeah. Justine, what stands out to you about what you hope to enjoy and partake in this weekend?
Of course, all the delicious food. I'm very excited about some of the new musical acts that are coming. They have demonstrations that are really cool. I think the whole weekend is just going to be full of fun and excitement and tasty food.
And also more exposure for the both of you.
Yes.
And your business. Talk to us about your business. It's in Rancho Cordova.
Right. We're based out of Rancho Cordova. We do operate out of a commercial kitchen. We're primarily like an online-based bakery where you can custom order your birthday celebration cakes and cookies. We also are very active in the community with decorating classes and pop-up events.
That is awesome. I saw the website and it definitely got me hungry. it looks just delicious and also beautiful, almost too beautiful to eat. But of course, it tastes delicious. You know, what do festivals hopefully add for your exposure for a business like the Sugar Sweetery?
And for us, it's just like getting uncovered of, you mm-hmm. know, people who maybe didn't know we existed or maybe corporations that didn't know that we do certain things. So it's kind of nice to just get that exposure, meet new people. And then honestly, sometimes, I mean, we work a lot of hours to get this product out and to meet someone face to face and have them taste it in front of us and tell us how amazing it is. That's gratification enough to just get that reward.
Mm. And you're seeing like the satisfaction of this grant really come to fruition with businesses like this, Mike.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Again, you know, there are so many people that come down to this event, and it's a great way to gain that exposure. Like she said, you know, not a lot of people may be aware of what they're doing. So this is something that all of a sudden a giant spotlight is on them. So hopefully that carries past the festival as well.
Yeah, and extends that diversity, not only from what we grow, but the businesses, you know, behind the food that we grow and we make and we put together on your website. I mean, you lay it out very clearly. You are minority owned, you're women owned, you're queer owned, you're veteran owned. Given that you opened your business back in 2016, it's been, you know, 7 years or so. How has Sacramento evolved in terms of being welcome to entrepreneurs of all backgrounds?
This community is really special. Amazing. In the way that they support. They really come out, promote, and just lift us all up. We are really active in our small community of vendors. And just all of them are so supportive.
Yeah, definitely. I think Sacramento loves small businesses. They love these micro businesses. They love people who have a niche to them. Like, so it's really cool just to see the community come out mm-hmm. time after time. I also host craft events. So it's really cool just to even meet people in Sacramento who have a talent that, like, you can't find at Target or Walmart, you know? And I think that Sacramento, that's where their blood draws, is like, you made this. You're from Sacramento. I'm going to support you.
Yeah. Given that you are the veteran part of this, Candace, I mean, talk to us about your journey from the Army to selling pastry. And cookies.
I mean, it's a long journey. you know, I was much younger, was fresh out of high school. I actually got kicked out of the Army for the don't ask, don't tell policy. So, you know, I've had a lot of adversity in my life. But, you know, I've always learned from my grandparents who came over here as immigrants to work hard. They had, you know, a lot of small businesses growing up. And I'm like, when I met Justine and she started doing the baking on the side and I saw it as a business, I kind of always had that entrepreneurial like fire inside of me. And so I was like, hey, how about if we try this, see if it works? If not, we'll go back mm-hmm. to corporate life and we'll be fine. And because we come from different backgrounds, I come from retail, she comes from accounting, she's got this creative, amazing imagination when it comes to baked goods. It kind of just all was like a puzzle. It came together so perfectly. And we're really homegrown. Like, people that try our stuff, they pass on the word of mouth. Hey, I had this at this party. You've got to try it. And that's what's grown us truly, is just word of mouth and people who have genuinely met us or tried our treats.
Yeah, Justine, I mean, how has it been like teaming up with your partner, you know, in personal life and professional life as well with the baking business?
It's a roller coaster, but we make it work. We've been really busy, and I'm so thankful for Candace that she wanted to jump into my passion for baking and create something amazing with the business that we've developed over the years. So I'm very grateful that we have this opportunity and that people come out and really support us.
You know, given that this started as a side hustle and the two of you, you know, took that risk, you embraced it, and now you have a successful business, you know, you also help others with this as well, right, Candace?
Absolutely, yeah. So I run SAC Vendor Connect, and I do events. I host different events, but I also mentor small businesses, helping them, you know, with the permittings that they may need, helping them with their booth setups, their product marketing. I feature them on my page just to get them some extra exposure, you know, and then I also like to do philanthropy, so giving back to any charities mm-hmm. or anything that's special and means something to us. We try to include that in every event that we do as well, just to make sure, even though we're small fries, we can, you know, pass on a message.
Yeah. I mean, having a great idea and a great product is one thing, but getting it off the ground and making it a reality is a completely different ballgame.
100%. And yeah. Then, you know, a lot of these crafters aren't savvy in the tech world, and really trying to explain to them, if you get your exposure out there, you're going to, you know, people are going to be able to see you and be able to get your product. And it's amazing that I can kind of connect those two.
You know, Mike, what does this tell us about the entrepreneurial community in Sacramento?
Well, everything they're saying is something I've heard a million times before. She's absolutely right. This is Sacramento, right? These are the people in Sacramento who do these things. And that's one of the things that we love about the festival. It's very Sacramento-centric. You're mm-hmm. seeing your neighbors, the people who grow things in this region who are incredibly creative, especially with food. So I agree with you. I looked at their website. I will be at their booth on Saturday because it looks incredible.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we are talking all things farm to fork ahead of the annual street festival along Capitol Mall this weekend. Okay, Mike, what are some new things people should know about?
So, you know, we have cooking demo stages as we've had in the past. Mm-hmm. There are three different stages that are programmed throughout the weekend. We have celebrity chef Tyler Florence, who reached out to us this year and is doing a special paid event within the festival. He's got these 45-day dry-aged tomahawk, this incredible barbecue area. We've got a chef's area, a grand tasting with some of the best chefs in Sacramento creating. And then the musical acts. We have Ben Harper and the Innocent Criminals, Michael Fronte and Spearhead, Cannons. If you like the guitar, Eric Gales is an aficionado, Daniel Ponder. So the best part about everything I just said, with the exception of Tyler Florence and the Grand Tasting, it's all free. All those bands are free. Come out and see Ben Harper and Michael Fronte. These are some incredible musicians. And again, help us to celebrate everything Sacramento.
Any idea how many people you can expect this weekend? Because it grows every year.
It really does. The weather looks phenomenal. That's always something that helps to dictate attendance. We've definitely, over the 2 days, seen over 100,000 people. I think the caliber of bands that we have are going to attract even more. So, you know, we advertise this event outside of the market as well. Our job at Visit Sacramento is to get people to come and stay in hotels. So a lot of advertising in the Bay Area, and I expect we'll have a full crowd all weekend.
Yeah, what is that hotel occupancy looking like? Do you have an idea for this weekend?
It's tough to say. We have conversations with hotel GMs, and they said they're doing pretty well. So if you ask me that next week, I'll have a better answer, but it feels like it's going to be in a good place.
Yeah, and Tyler Florence is obviously a celebrity chef, part of Food Network, but you two are going to make an appearance, right? On Food Network, right, Justine and Candace?
Actually, it's just me. It was a solo cookie challenge. I will be on Food Network's Halloween cookie challenge on October 9th.
Oh my gosh. How was the experience?
It was a lot of fun. I got to meet Chef Duff Goldman and Rosanna Pensino. Got to show off some of my cookie skills and hopefully represent Sacramento really well.
Oh, I'm sure you did. And Candace, you must have been, you know, excited and nervous for her.
Oh my God, I'm like so excited to see her on TV. I'm like, when does your show air? I've been on a countdown for months.
I also think these events might also help with networking for local businesses like yours.
Oh, definitely. I like to call myself the business card collector. I love to meet people, get their business cards, and then start to follow them and learn about their story and their journey, where they came from.
Mm. You know, Mike, I have to remember, I mean, you've been on Insight, you know, many times. The last time was back in April, in the spring, and we talked about the city's effort to revitalize, you know, post-COVID with shutdowns, and also the success of the Kings and right. How that really reinvigorated the city center again. But have there been any new wins since April that the city is celebrating?
I think there's been a steady increase in what we're seeing, not only from a visitor standpoint, but folks starting to come back downtown. When I look at the city's tax collection for hotel rooms, we are at pre-COVID numbers. So that part's been great, that the visitor has returned. And, you know, you look at some of the big events that are produced, especially this time of year, when you've got Farm to Fork, when you've got Aftershock, mm-hmm. Golden Sky, and Iron Man next month. When I look at the tax collections that the city does, over the largest convention month we have is January. And if you compare January to October, October is up mm-hmm. well over $1.3 million in hotel taxes. So a lot of these events like Farm to Fork or Iron Man or Aftershock are bringing in a ton of visitors and really supporting the economy. And then, you know, you talk about bringing vendors out to festivals. All those festivals are doing that as well. So we're trying to create other opportunities mm-hmm. besides your brick and mortar of being able to come out to festivals and maybe meet a new customer.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the city center, you think about all of the businesses at the city center. When you did, there is the challenge, I think it still exists, of office vacancies
yeah.
and wanting to keep the workforce in the city center to utilize those businesses. What does that look like now? Has that been improving?
You know, I'd like to say it has. It feels fairly static from where it's been. It's still a challenge in the sense that we don't have state office workers back. Most of them are working remotely. So that's about 87,000 people that were in our downtown on any given business day. So the fact that the majority of them are not there certainly is impacting businesses, especially restaurants from a lunch standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some things we're trying to put together along with the Downtown Partnership and the Midtown Association to improve that. But, you know, the reality is when you've relied on office workers for so long and suddenly that it turns off. Mm-hmm. It's not a quick fix. It's probably a bit of a slow rebuild, but I think we have made some progress.
After this weekend, what is the next big event that you're looking forward to for Sacramento?
So we take a weekend off and then we roll
well
into
deserved.
Thank you. And then we roll into Aftershock. Aftershock is the largest hard rock festival on the West Coast, 160,000 people over 4 days. The weekend after that, we host Golden Sky, which is the country version of that. Last year, that was 50,000 people. We expect it to be closer to 75 this year. And the weekend after that is the the Ironman competition. Wow. So it's a crazy couple of months, but it's a huge impact to our businesses. So we're thrilled to be doing it.
Something for everyone.
Yes, something for everyone. Whether you want to eat, whether you want to rock out, or whether you want to exercise, you are covered in Sacramento.
Burn lots of calories.
Yes.
Justin and Candace, I want to end with you. If there's someone who wants to open their own business, doesn't really have the confidence right now, know where to start, what advice do you have for them? Because both of you made this a reality.
I think we always just tell people to try. Yeah. If you don't make that leap, or if you don't fuel your fire, it's just going to burn out. And, you got to take that leap and do the research of what you need to get done to get off the ground. I would say that to start there first and just see if it could be a reality.
Well, Justine and Candace, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Mike, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Vicky.
Mike Testa is the president and CEO of Visit Sacramento, joined by co-owners Justine and Candace Cabanilla, who are the owners of Sugar Sweetery. We have posted all the links to the street festival this weekend and to Sugar Sweetery at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. We are back in just a few moments.